Hi, I'm Paul Johnson. Thanks for listening to the podcast from Life Support.
You felt so unqualified, and that's good, because when we are letting go of our knowledge and our wisdom and our therapeutic tools and our pastoral tools, and we let Jesus be that pastor in us, flowing through us, we let him be the power flowing through us, then the body of Christ is active.
Everything you do from then on is different.
One of the detectives, I think his name was
He was Derek. A golden boy.
All we can do right now is come
Extreme
together.
Extreme domestic violence, multiple rapes.
Welcome to Life Support. I'm your host, Pastor Paul Johnson, and we're going to do something a little different for this program. We're going to hear from pastor and therapist Dan Munson as he delivered the keynote address at a recent Life Support conference on the topic of trauma. Dan has been a guest on this program before, but his words this day to a group of church leaders is worth sharing. And so here is Dan Munson.
Wow, just thinking about the power of having Jesus love someone through us. And that's the church. We are the church. We don't go to church. You know, we don't go there for programming only. We are the program. We are the church. We don't have a sanctuary in the building anymore. We are the sanctuaries of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And once I began to kind of think about, what if that's true? What if it's true what it says in Corinthians, that you are the body of Christ? That means that wherever we would be present, the hands and feet of Jesus are present, literally, actually, through the Holy Spirit, present. I knew that as a pastor, but I was so busy training people about that, preaching to people about all of that, learning how to break through the 200 barrier and the 300 barrier, figuring out ways to organize the church to grow. And it was growing and it was developing, but it wasn't being his body, because I wasn't, as leader, I wasn't practicing the presence of Jesus. I wasn't sitting with people, because I must not have thought it was really true that I was the body of Jesus. Because if I'm the body of Christ, if we're the body of Christ, there is nothing that is more important than the people sitting at the feet of Jesus' body. So I went back to seminary to kind of think this through, because maybe the therapist part would help me. So I became a therapist. And what happened, I went back to see if I could become a better pastor, but in studying therapy and sitting with people in their woundedness and in their pain, I found out, actually, for the first time, how to be a pastor. And I found the power of being a pastor, sitting in those therapy offices with people and having a non-anxious presence, having a non-judgmental kind of an approach, letting them spew and say whatever they needed to say, and it was okay, but to simply be present. I learned the power of presence because these folks were saying that they were being helped, and often I wasn't saying a word. Where before, as you can see in the handout that I have, available for you that you can take with you, there's a lot of things that I would say, and a lot of us say at those moments, that are not appropriate, because we're not sure what to say. We're nervous about what to say. I'm the pastor. I need to have something to say. And so I end up saying, or others end up saying, things that are actually hurtful, because we aren't really validating the person's pain. We're not sitting with that person's pain. So what I found out in my therapy world was how to pastor. And I love pastoring and I love therapy. But then I thought, if the power of me sitting with somebody is that powerful with Jesus in me, what would happen if I myself would sit with Jesus and develop a therapeutic alliance with Jesus and let Jesus begin to be what, for me, everything I needed? What if he's big enough to be everything I needed in my insecurities, in my inadequacies, in my times of woundedness and hurt and pain? So I began to take that seriously, because if my presence with Jesus' help was making a tremendous difference in clients' lives, I needed to figure out what would happen with me if I sat with Jesus. And when I began to do that through contemplative prayer, through abiding, through waiting, through silence, having a spiritual mentor as well as a therapist, silent retreats, something mysterious and miraculous began to happen inside of me. Jesus was enough. He was enough for my congregation if I couldn't meet the budget. He was enough for me if I didn't know what to say at those moments when suicide happened and trauma happened. And when he was enough for me, yes, then maybe, just think, maybe he's enough for the rest of the body of Christ as well. And what if people would walk in to a church where they were walking into the very presence of the body of Jesus Christ? We catch that in worship once in a while, right? Have you ever been to one of those moments where, you know, you just don't want to shut it down? Because the Holy Spirit goosebumps really are happening. You're sensing the power of God at work. And healings are happening then. I began to, as a pastor, announce that healings may be occurring even now. In fact, even now you may be sensing some burdens lifted and healings occurring in Jesus' name and in his power, because we are the body of Christ. And when you sit in his presence, without having to come up with a training or a thought or make it happen, when you just sit with your limp, as Paul was talking about, walk with a limp, walk not having the answer, but walk as one who's been called to be the body of Christ. And he doesn't call the qualified. My home pastor used to say, he doesn't necessarily call the qualified. He qualifies those that he calls. And so when he calls us to be his body, that's enough if we embrace that by faith, that that's who we are. And he'll be, through the Holy Spirit, the qualification for what we need to say, for what we need to do. So I learned, when I went back to be a therapist, how to be a pastor. And I learned what the body of Christ is about. Because I was his body, sitting with people, but then I had to sit with Jesus first. And that's part of our training, figuring out how do we sit with him first. How do we find out that he's enough for our own woundedness and our own pain? And then when we find out that just as the sap flows from the vine to the branches, or from the branches to the vine, that the Holy Spirit flows from one soul to another soul. As literally as sap flows through a tree. And when you're sitting with somebody and that Holy Spirit sap is flowing through you in that moment, sometimes without a single word said, often without a single word said, the person says, "Wow, thank you for helping me so much. You didn't say a word? You felt so unqualified," and that's good, because when we are letting go of our knowledge and our wisdom and our therapeutic tools and our pastoral tools, and we let Jesus be that pastor in us flowing through us, we let him be the power flowing through us, then the body of Christ is active and powerful, and the safest place in the universe for a person with trauma to show up at. Because they're showing up at the feet of Jesus. Now, we're not Jesus, but he says we are his body. And he says that we will do more things than he ever did in number, because there's 2 billion of us around the world now. So you think of 2 billion people around the world, Christians, that would be the very feet and hands of Jesus. And then it's just simply a touch, a healthy hug, some tears, non-judgmentalism, just non-anxious presence, just being. The power of being present is absolutely, unbelievably amazing. Think of that now with our churches, of how many we represent even here today. If this week we are watching for, and we're training our people to watch for that person that is obviously discouraged, obviously depressed, there's something not quite right. You know who they are. They're the ones we don't want to be near right now because we don't know what to say. We don't want to mess it up. We don't want to say the wrong thing. And so we send them to a therapist someplace, which I'm glad we get people come and all of that. But then the therapist wants to send people back to a place of community, a place where the community is going to be loving, it's going to be gracious, it's going to be full of the love and power of Jesus. It's going to be people that just simply will be present and hang out with people. I've got a guy just this last week, his dad suicided just a week and a half ago. So I'm working with him. What we're doing is I'm saying, check in with me 10 minutes each day for the next 30 days. Because I wasn't able to figure out a time to meet, and he wasn't able to figure out a time to meet. But I said, how about if we just check in by phone 10 minutes a day for the next 30 days? He never thought that could be possible. And so we've been checking in just a week and a half now. He's far from God in terms of mad at God and a lot of that. But what's happened, just because I've been the body of Christ checking in with him and with no judgment, with just simply listening, he said, what church are you at now? I said, I've been over at Life Point as an interim pastor. Maplewood just finished, but I'm working with the refugee kids there. He said, could I and my fiance come last night, Wednesday night? Could we come and be a part of that?
This is Life Support. I'm host Pastor Paul Johnson. Today you're listening to something a little different, a keynote address to a group of church leaders at a recent Life Support conference hosted by Five Stone Media. And once again, here is pastor and therapist, Dan Munson.
And so they came and they had a blast. He texted me last night and said, that was the most powerful thing we've experienced in so long. And it all came not from all of the theology I know or from the therapeutic interventions that I know, even though that was an intervention. But it was about letting him know he mattered. Letting him know that I would do that every day for 30 days. I'm doing that with 3 other people right now. And it's just the power of what's already happened just in that. Now, when you have an opportunity to meet with them in addition to that, you're the hands and feet of Jesus meeting with them. When you meet with Jesus, I pray that you're experiencing something in your devotions, something with you happening. But what I discover when I meet with pastors, because another part of my work is mentoring pastors that have been in it for 20, 30 years, when I bring up these things, they say, we preach about that, but we haven't yet started doing it. We haven't carved out that silent time, that abiding time. And they said, we're embarrassed to say, but we just don't have time. And so my sessions with them is not any more information. It's just abiding, sitting with those pastors and walking with them through silent time and hearing their story, telling my story. And they say, maybe that's what we should be. I should go back home and do that at the church. What would happen if all these churches began to just be the safest place in the world to share our story. And that's what I've been doing as interim now, as interim pastor, so as therapist. I enjoy that very much, but I really enjoy the church. I just hate playing church. I enjoy the true church, but I hate playing church, the politics of it. And so I have the opportunity now to kind of skip the politics because I'm starting my 12th interim in March 1st now in the last 15 years. And so we just go into churches and help them heal in between pastors and see if we can develop body life, see if we can develop this idea that we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Practice it with somebody this week and see what might happen. Just begin to practice it in the hallways rather than gossip about what you don't like. Begin to practice it, you know, in wherever you go and with who you talk about, at the board meetings, at the finance meetings. You know, practice the presence of Jesus. Begin to talk about what God is doing in your life, begin to tell your story, and then as that happens, then the hope comes, as Five Stone Media points out, and then the healing comes, and then the change comes. It's just fun when we get ourselves out of the way enough to be the safest place in the world for people with trauma to come to. I have no clue when I get these terrible calls. I was an EMT for 10 years, and so you get all of those kinds of things. A chaplain, she called to all of those tragedies. I've been in the ministry for 42 years and as a therapist for the last 20 years. And so you get called into all of these tragic situations. The people I do supervision for do the work in the community with trauma families. And so we have, at any given time, 600 families we're working with at a time. And so we're doing training for these folks. And the same training I'm talking to you about now is pretty much it. Because we got enough information. We have enough knowledge that way. But we're not almost using all of those busy things we do to not be. Our new work is being. Senior pastors don't think we have time to do that, but if we don't have time to do that, then we're missing out on teaching our people to do that. We can do it from the pulpit. We can talk about the being power of the feet of Jesus. We can be more transparent and open. I begin to share about my family, my wife with OCD and eating disorders, tough stuff, treatment because of that. Part of it was me being a workaholic. Not being present, not being there for the kids. So an alcoholic adopted boy is an alcoholic. He's in treatment right now. A grandson that's in Teen Challenge right now, today. And yet I've learned to be the hands and feet of Jesus to them rather than giving them the gospel, right? Some scripture, the gospel, some scripture. A quick prayer, and I believe in scripture, and I believe in prayer, but I believe that God has called me, us, to be the solution in Jesus' name, to be the living word of God in their lives, to be that, not in place of it, but to be Jesus to them. I come up on an accident a few years ago by my house in Andover, a head-on collision. And being an EMT, I'm kind of driven to those kinds of things. I just have to go check it out. It was a bad scene. And airbags had popped and blood and mess. But I poked my head in because no one was there yet. I was the first on the scene. And this person looked at me with a daze and said, "Are you Jesus?" I said, "Well, I'm a Christian, and I represent his body. Would you pray?" It just reminded me that wherever we are ever at, we are the hands and feet of Jesus, and we're the only expression of Jesus on this earth that a lot of those folks are ever going to encounter. And it's always enough. Jesus is always enough. Because I've been in those situations where I had no clue what to say. One of my good friends of mine just passed this last 2 weeks ago. I had his funeral. died suddenly. I hugged him on Sunday, the 29th of December, my last Sunday at Life Point Church, and he's one of these guys that follows me around to all the interims I do. So he was there, and I hugged, and we're going to meet the next Saturday. He died suddenly on Friday. His wife's an unbeliever. Family is an unbeliever. Had a chance just to walk with unbelievers through that, but for his wife, I never said a single word. Everybody else was coming up saying a lot of these things that I've got on the sheet that I'm not going to go through right now. You can read it. But I was hearing people say all these things. You know, you can be strong. You can do it. You know, we'll be praying for you. I didn't say a thing. I just stood there as these people were saying all this stuff, just stood there praying. Jesus, you're present. You're present in me. You're present through me. Our eyes locked. And the only thing we did was hug. And she told me afterwards, that was the most powerful thing that happened, because she says, I think I was hugged by God. And I'm certainly not God. Just ask my wife. But we are his representative. We have the privilege to be the body of Christ. And so as we think about how, I'm so excited about all of you because you already know this. It is a matter of how we then just begin to share it and be this rather than wish that the church would be this, because we are the answer to that. There's enough of us that in any church that know this and could get together and just begin to be that body, to do body life ministry, to let the Holy Spirit begin to work in and through us. But we need the permission, senior pastors, we need the permission to do that. And so that's where I, as a senior pastor, decided to start taking the risk and letting folks that are called to it. But I still found the power of me doing it. The power of me as the lead pastor being vulnerable and open, and me sitting with Jesus first before I tell them to ever sit with Jesus. Because I hadn't been sitting with Jesus. Otherwise, I wouldn't be stressing everybody out about budgets and program, stressing everybody out about my program and my stuff. In my woundedness and in my brokenness and in my own family issues and my own stuff, I have discovered that Jesus is enough. And when we, as the body of Christ, discover that, not teach it, not preach it, not put out a program that way, but when we are that program to the next person that you see down the pew in the corner that's off by themselves, or you see it in the paper, figure out, oh, I know that family, figuring out how to reach out. I go to the emergency room sometimes. It's weird, but I just go to the emergency rooms and sit there. I hang out at Mercy Hospital up by Anoka and just see what happens. You're just sitting there as the body of Jesus. You don't have to have any agenda. See what happens. And it's amazing how God just begins to open doors without you even saying a thing. And people come over and say, you know, there's something coming from you to me that I just think that I have a question for you. Jesus shows up through us when we let him. He comes through our countenance. He comes through our demeanor. The Holy Spirit causes other people around us to think, I'm going to be drawn to that person because something special is going on over there. And that's because I got out of the way. I used to have all the answers. I used to get in the way of Jesus working. I used to be, I'm so insecure, I had to be the main voice in every conversation. I had to be the main, you know, expert in every situation. And so I kept going to school to get these degrees so I could do that. And so I had to be broken. I had to have things not go so well. I had to have rejection. I had to have trauma. I had to have family with trauma. I had to get real and open with my congregation. And that's when people find that you're real. When they find that your people are real, when they discover that yours is the safest place in the country for somebody that's had a terrible event happen in their life, they'll show up at your door by the droves, because they know that when they walk in, just like when they walk into a recovery group, you know you're accepted, because everybody in the recovery group knows what's going on in that group. And you're accepted, whether it's alcohol or drugs, pornography, whatever it is, you're accepted. And so when people walk into our recovery groups as Christians, our discipleship groups that become not just a information place, but a place of dialogue and listening, people will come to that. Just like they come to every time we open the doors to therapy groups or to recovery groups. So I just wanted to encourage you. So that the church could be the safest place in all of the world for people with trauma to come. And the training is not all that difficult. It's being who we already are, who God has already qualified us to be. And he is absolutely able to do it through us and minister to the worst case loss situations. Thank you for your attention. God bless you.
Our thanks to pastor and therapist Dan Munson for sharing his time with this group of church leaders. I'm Pastor Paul, and join me next time for Life Support. Thanks for listening to this Life Support podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Life Support, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of Life Support.